Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad that you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Since it's October, I'd like to introduce you to one of the artists you've been hearing quite a bit this month. Fawn is an award-winning ASCAP singer, songwriter, composer, and recording artist who has shared the top of the Billboard dance charts with Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, and Janet Jackson with her song Wish You Love, which reached number 6. Fawn has won 4 JPF Music Awards. In 2019 and 2020, she won for Best Dance Album and Best Dance Song. Fawn was nominated as a solo artist for Best Dance Single for the Hollywood Music and Media Awards, and she won the VH1 Save the Music Song of the Year for Into the Light. She has also won awards for her Christmas music and for her Halloween music. And you can hear Fawn in movies and TV shows, including The Natalie Holloway Story, Nickelodeon's Hollywood Heights, The Young and the Restless, The Little Red Wagon, Spike Lee's The Girl is in Trouble, Guiding Light, Ugly Betty, Charlie's Angels, and CSI Miami, just to name a few. And I could go on and on, but how about we hear about some of this from Fawn herself? Hi, Fawn.
Hi.
Did I get all that right?
Holy moly, yes.
Yeah,
that was holy moly. An introduction. Goodness. Thank you.
Yeah, wow. So first, the Halloween music. We play Christmas music all year round, except in October when we switch to Halloween music. And you are one of those rare artists that has recorded Halloween music, not just a song or two, but 2 separate EPs worth of spooky tunes, and not covers of Monster Mash or Ghostbusters, but all original tracks. And they're really good. How did you decide to or get inspired to record this stuff? Let's start with the first EP, Monster House.
Well, thank you so much. That is, I really appreciate that compliment. I, like everybody, we all love Thriller and Monster Mash and Purple People Eater and Ghostbusters and Somebody's Watching You, you know, all those great songs. And I've always loved Halloween and I've always loved Christmas. Those are my 2 favorite holidays. So I thought, you know, there just aren't enough Halloween songs out there to choose from. And I wanted more songs like Monster Mash in that vein. And so I just decided to write them. And that's how it happened.
And then you followed it up a year later, or maybe 2 years later, with another EP that was called Ghoulish Ghosts. Was this leftover material from the first one or just something more that you wanted to do?
It was not leftover. It was definitely something to do. I had only done an EP of 5 songs and I thought, well, you know, there's more in me. So let's do another EP of 5 songs. And so that's what I did. And Ghoulish Ghosts was a really quick, literally took me 20 minutes to write with the words and music. And it's one of my favorite songs, actually. But I just love all the spooky stuff. So,
and this wasn't just like a lark or a fad or something. Ghoulish Ghost won the Great American Song Contest.
That was super neat. That was one of the highlights of my life. I was just so excited to have that recognition. And when I won the following year, a finalist position for Monster House, that was also super cool. I just really appreciated the recognition of those spooky songs.
And I know it seems probably silly to some that we're spending so much time on the Halloween stuff when your Christmas music output is more than, I think it's double this, but I find it really interesting and just pretty cool that you've contributed so much music to the canon of Halloween music and to what we play in October when the sounds of Christmas is the sounds of Halloween. Was there any kind of inspiration, any particular songs or artists that led you down this spooky path?
Just like the ones I mentioned before, like the Thriller and, you know, Ghostbusters and Monster Mash. I just wanted it to be something fun that would be across the board for all ages, you know, nothing with curse words or anything too evil. You know, I just wanted it to be fun in the spirit of Halloween, which is just having a night where you get to be somebody other than yourself. And so that's what I wanted to do, because I wanted it to be spooky.
In fact, I first discovered your music on YouTube, and you've made some videos for some of these spooky songs, and they're great. Was that the plan? Did you sort of see that in your head as you're coming up with the songs? Was it sort of like a movie in your head?
No, they just kind of just came out. And when I write, they usually come out words and music at the same time. And then after I had recorded them, I started thinking about how could I do, I've got to do music videos. So I, that's when I got introduced to my first green screen. And also when I learned how to edit my own music videos. And so Monster House was the first music video I edited myself. All of the Halloween music videos I've edited since. And I also shot them on an iPhone. So it was the Monster House, my fiance and son, they're like, if we have to hear that song one more time, because I was learning to edit. So it was hours and hours and hours. Welcome to Monster House. And they were like, we love the song, but if we hear it one more time, we're going to go crazy. So, you know, luckily I now know how to edit efficiently. And my son is actually a master at it. And of course, my fiance is also really good at editing. He taught me everything I know. So
the two EPs were a few years ago. Any plans on more Halloween music?
Yes. Yes. I've actually written all of the ones for the next album, which was supposed to be out sadly this year, but my mom passed away. And so I've had the last 16 months of having to help my father and pack up their house is 60 years and sell it and all that stuff. And so it's been put on hold. I have 3 songs already recorded for it, and all the songs are already written. So that will be coming out probably 2022 October.
I look forward to playing those next year. And of course, my condolences on the passing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much. That's probably the hardest thing too, is, you know, she, when I remember when she's, saw Monster House and heard it on my Facebook thread in the memories, came up a message from her that said, Monster House is genius. And that just, you know, so I always think her now when I hear that song. And she was one of my biggest cheerleaders.
I completely understand. And not to try and make any of this about me, I lost my father about a year and a half ago, and he was one of my biggest fans. And he wasn't crazy about Christmas music, but he used to listen. And because of technology, when I go into the admin area of the Sounds of Christmas, I can see where people are that are listening. And because he was in a small town near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I always knew that he was listening. And he would listen because my voice is on there maybe once an hour in a little sweeper. The Sounds of Christmas is proud to support, blah, blah, blah. And so he would be listening just for that. And then he would send me a Facebook message or something that he heard me. And it was, you know, and it's just those things. And it's just,
I'm so sorry. You don't really realize how much they impact your life. And then when they're gone, and also reasons why you do things, you know, you want to show them and you want them to be proud of you. And you know, it's just really hard. And I didn't realize till after she passed and I started going through things and finding things I never knew. She had poem books she wrote when she was a teenager, that she was actually a songwriter, but she never realized she was. And I think that's where I got that gift from. And just, it's heartbreaking. I feel like she's with me, but you know how it goes. And I'm so sorry for your loss too. There are no words.
Yeah. now to try and get us back on track after we've had this emotional.
Back to the spooky.
Yes. Okay. Well, now before the first Halloween EP, you put out a complete Christmas album. I think there were 15 songs on it. It's called Angels We Have Heard on High. For people who have listened to the Sounds of Christmas, when it's actually the Sounds of Christmas, you've probably heard some songs from that album. It's beautiful, and it's a lot different than the music we've already been talking about. By the time you were putting together Angels We Have Heard on High, you'd already released non-holiday music. Anything in particular that led you down the holiday trail to shift into a Christmas album?
Well, I you know, I just always wanted to, I don't know, I guess what happened was when I was writing songs, you know, you never know when I sit at the piano, I never know what's going to pop out. And a couple Christmas songs had popped out. And so they were just kind of sitting there. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, how are these Christmas songs going to be heard? I guess I better record a Christmas album. And that's how that happened. I think my favorite Christmas song that came out, because, you know, when you write, it's not really you writing, you're just being the vessel. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite is Christmas Time. And yeah, that's my favorite that I've written of Christmas songs.
Now, like the two Halloween EPs, the songs on that first Christmas album were mostly originals, aren't they?
They are and they aren't. There's a lot of public domain, but I wrote original verses and melodies on those public domain songs. So there's more public domain songs with additional melodies and lyrics that I wrote. And then there's, I think, four or five originals on there.
And after that one, a few years after that one, you put out another one called Noel, which is kind of connected to the first Christmas album, right?
Yes. And I specifically did that for all the TV and film licensing. I wanted to do a Hallmark-esque type of vibe. And so I recorded new Christmas songs and then revamped some of the ones on the first Christmas album. And one of those revamps was Christmas Time.
And as I asked about the Halloween music, is there more Christmas music on the way?
Yes, I think so. I think the direction for next year is going to be jazz album, finish the Halloween stuff. I'd like to do a Christian album. And then I would also like to do another Christmas album for sure.
Now, your holiday music also has a connection to a charitable organization called Start Rescue. What can you tell us about Start and how you got involved with them?
Start, it's connected to Start, and it also raised money for Beagle Freedom Project. Both of those rescues are two of my favorite rescues. Start is run by my friends that I met years ago, and they're just really reputable people, and they do shelter transport. So START stands for Shelter Transport Animal Rescue Team. And what they do is they'll take, you know, in certain parts of the United States, there's dogs where they don't have certain kinds of dogs or the shelters aren't full. So they'll take shelters that are full from California and they'll transport to organizations there and they get them homes. So it's really lovely. And they also give grants here and there. They'll give money to other rescue people or their dogs if they need a little help. And then Beagle Freedom, Rescue Beagle Freedom Project, they get the dogs out of the experiments after the experiments instead of them being killed. And then they rehabilitate them and they get them homes. And plus they pass legislation. Shannon Keith passed a bunch of animal legislations to make the world a better place. So those two organizations are my top that I work with.
Okay. I'm a dog person too. I went to a shelter for the first time about 5 years ago, and I'd never been to a shelter before. I had the idea that it's a place where they have a whole bunch of puppies, and there were no puppies there. These were older dogs. And when I went there, there was a family, a mom and dad and two little kids who were looking around, and they were looking for a puppy, something young that was going to grow up with the kids. And I understand that, but they're passing by all of these dogs, and it was just sad. And my wife had to drag me out of there because I was trying to put my name on every single one. But I did bring home Benji, who was, I think he was 11. And we had him for 3 or 4 years. And then after a year or two of healing, I found another dog when I had moved to the other side of the country. And he's Rascal, and he's about 30 feet away from me right now. And he just turned 10 a few months ago. And it's just the sweetest thing. And I encourage anybody to, if you're a dog person, the senior dogs are wonderful and they love you. Yes. And they have so much to give and they'd be so grateful to have a home. So
absolutely, 100%. And going to a shelter is so difficult. I always leave crying and I always leave with the dog. I have several, and I have several seniors. So the oldest, one of my rescues has lived was 23, and the oldest wolf dog I ever rescued lived 18. So I have a lot of seniors and special needs dogs, and it takes a special, you know, you just really have to look at it as, you know, they're important too. And it really disgusts me when families just turn their older dogs into, or any dog or any animal for that matter, into the shelter because, you know, oh, he peed on my floor, or, oh, yeah, he's getting old, or, you know, that's a big soapbox for me.
This really upsets. For me too, when I met Benji, and he was adorable. And I was surprised at the wealth of information that the shelter had on him, because I figured that he must have been a stray or something. Right. And because I had no idea. And they said, no, he was, he belonged to a woman who raised him from a puppy, and he was an inside dog. And then she got married and he became an outside dog, and he kept climbing the fence trying to get back inside, and they didn't like that. So they brought him to the shelter. And I thought lots of things that I shouldn't say those words on this podcast, but.
Oh, for sure. I am with you. When we get off of this interview, we will say them together.
Yes.
I have a little chug that is 8 pounds of spunk, and she was in a dumpster at 3 weeks old, and now she's 15. The love of my life. So that's one of my babies.
That's terrific. I had somebody close to me ask recently, you know, a few years down the road, maybe more than a few, when Rascal is no longer with me, would I consider getting a puppy? And mm-hmm. I said, well, I'd love to have a puppy, but the senior dogs need me.
Yes.
And I can make a difference, because there are lots of homes out there waiting for puppies.
Yes.
But there aren't lots of homes waiting for a dog who's a little bit older. So.
And what people don't understand is, you know, if you get a dog that's 2 or 3, they're still in that puppy-esque phase. And, you know, raising a puppy, it's nice. They have that little sweet puppy breath, mm-hmm. but they are not easy. They chew everything. You have to potty train them. I've fostered many puppies. And I have adopted from puppies from rescues as well. But, you know, that's one of the people of START, Susanna Erzeli and Steve Spiro, back in 2006, they went into a hoarding situation and they took out 250 dogs out of 400. And I rehabilitated some of those dogs for them. And that was really heartbreaking. But, you know, puppies are not easy. Some of those were puppies. So people, you know, they like the idea of the puppy, just like they like the idea of a baby. But then once they have it, it's a whole nother, they realize, oh man, this is a lot of work.
Well, one of the organizations that that we support is called the Shelter Pet Project. And yes. I haven't heard their PSAs for this year, but in years past, one of the things that they talk about is, please don't get a puppy for someone for Christmas as a present. Yes, exactly. Because this is a living thing. Yeah. And it's a big decision. It requires a lot of work.
Yes.
A lot of effort.
And don't get bunnies for Easter.
Right.
They only knew. I have rescue rabbits too and rescue birds, but Yeah, people just, they need to be educated. So that's great.
Yeah. And we're way off track again here. Let me try and circle us back around. It's okay. I'm happy, and I'm hope that our conversation about pets helps somebody out there. I'm sure it will.
Me too.
We've talked about the Halloween music and the Christmas music, but you have lots of non-holiday music. You've released 3 volumes so far of a series that you call Airwaves. What can you share about this? And is there a 4th volume coming?
There will be a 4th volume, and probably a 5th and a 6th and a 7th. What the Airwaves series is, those are songs that I wrote and recorded and produced within 1 to 4 hours for TV and film projects. So those are songs that weren't necessarily something that I just, wrote. I wrote them for a specific project. And I thought, wow, these are never going to be heard unless people hear them on that TV show or this or that, or they'll never be able to get it. And what prompted me to release these was when I placed a cover of Ode to Joy with Cameron Laswell, who played the guitar very convincingly on a piano. And it aired on their Christmas ending on the 24th in its entirety. And I thought, people really wanted that song. And I thought, gosh, I should start releasing volumes of these songs that have been on film and TV, because otherwise people don't have access to them and don't even know about them.
What a great idea. There are so many times where I have seen a movie or something on TV or something, been streaming something, and there's a great version of a song, and I'll wait through the credits and see who did it, and then I'll try and find it, and you can't.
Exactly. And I have experienced the same thing, where I was very inspired by a song and a version of a song, and then you couldn't find it. So that is definitely what prompted me to do those Airwaves volumes, because that's also an example of just as a songwriter, a different style, because I have a lot of electronic albums out and electronic singles and electronic songs, EDM, that have won awards. But I also have a piano compositions album out that people don't know, that are just instrumentals. And in the Airwaves, you get all styles of music in there. You get, the Halloween, you get opera, you get hip hop, you get EDM, you get pop, you get styles that you wouldn't hear on the other albums.
Let me ask you a really stupid question that you probably get, and then maybe I'll explain why it's stupid. But you record all these different genres, whether it's Halloween or Christmas or the piano compositions or the dance music. Do you have a favorite?
That's a great question, actually. I do love EDM, I'm not going to lie, but I am a pop writer. So I was born a pop writer. I don't know if it's because I was doing national commercials when I was 10 and writing jingles. Well, I started national commercials when I was 6 months old, but who's going to remember that? but by the time I was 10, I started writing and recording jingles. So I just naturally am a hook writer. I write hooks, and it's more pop, but I really do love EDM. So I think it's between those two, and not that it's a genre, but I really do love Halloween songs and Christmas songs.
And the reason that I said it was a stupid question is, I think, because a lot of times people will ask anybody who likes music, who loves music, what their favorite kind is. And it's almost like picking a favorite child, because it depends on so many things. I love Christmas music. Well, what does that mean? Because there's, B.B. King had Christmas music, Elvis, James Brown, Mariah Carey, Pentatonix. You could go on and on to all kinds of different Christmas music. And there's bits and pieces of all of that I love. And I can't, and to me, it's just all Christmas music. And I can't tell you that there's a particular thing that I love. I love the Beach Boys Christmas album. And,
oh, yes.
And there's some new songs coming this year that I have played over and over already just in my home studio because I really like them. And, you know, and I love Karen Carpenter. What an amazing voice she had.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Merry Christmas, darling. I need to hear that.
Oh, you're kidding me, too. That is, but there's, I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, but there's just so many. If somebody were to ask me what my favorite Christmas music was, it would probably take me half an hour to go through everything, you know, because there's just so much. But there are some people who music isn't that important to and who don't see it as a dumb question because there are other things that they're into that they love. And maybe it's gaming, right. And maybe it's books, and maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's something else I can't even wrap my brain around. But it would be the same kind of, you know, it'd be the same kind of thing. If you're an avid reader and you love the written word, to ask you what your favorite is, you would probably be able to spend half an hour telling me. So,
right. And I do want to clarify, when I say I love EDM, I love intelligent EDM, not I'm a Barbie girl, not that kind of stuff, or it's all about the money. It's not that kind of stuff that I like. I like the very rich, meaningful. For example, you had mentioned Into the Light was a song that I'd won a songwriting award for, and that's a EDM song. And it was written about a man who had been dragged by a truck and killed for being Black. And I was so upset when I heard that on the news that I sat down and wrote that in 20 minutes. And that's the kind of thing, like, I always think of it as thought provoking, you know, words sent to movement. And that's how I see the EDM. Yeah, so that's the stuff that, you know, you can get a really good message across that's important to the world with a beat behind it. And it gets received so much. It opens people up in a way that beat underneath opens them up so that they can receive a message that you normally wouldn't be able to give them.
And it makes the message go farther.
Yes. And that's when the last song I was able to record, which was after my mom passed, was a song I did called Wait for the Sun. And it's all about, you know, we were in the middle of COVID. And it was all about just wait for the sun, you know, just when the world is spinning around and it's out of control, just wait for the sun because it's going to come again. And I did a Black Lives Matter version of that. And I thought, this is, you know, it's emotional. It was very emotional, and it's EDM.
Yeah, I think in any genre that applies, because you can come up with some. You can come up with some songs that, you know, achy, breaky heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In any genre that, and it's great that it can carry the message forward. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes, so I agree.
We've talked about all kinds of stuff that you have on the way, more Halloween music, more Christmas music, more Airwaves albums. I feel kind of silly asking, but what else have you got in the pipeline for the rest of this year or into next?
The Christian album, and I'm going to do more Halloween, more Christmas. Definitely another Airwaves volume album, and I'll probably do another piano compositions album, and also going to start some jazz tracks. Wow. Go back to my roots of jazz and scat singing.
Wow. Busy, busy, busy. If anybody wants to find out more about you, your website's faunmusic.com. What about the social media? Is the website the best place to go? Or
yes, there's on the website, it has all the Facebook, you know, Faun Music, Spotify, just do Faun. And Instagram's going to be Faun_music_official. And then TikTok is going to be @Faun_music. I don't think the TikTok's up there yet, but the rest of them are. And the YouTube is youtube.com/FaunTV. TV.
Like television.
Yes, exactly.
And I encourage you to go check out some of Faun's videos. Absolutely. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for spending a bunch of time with us to talk about some silly stuff and some stuff that's not so silly that I think is important. And I bet I bet it makes a difference to some people. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And thank you for asking me to be on this amazing podcast. I love that you play Christmas music. And I love that you also cover the Halloween during this month. So I just feel very honored that you asked me. And thank you so much for hearing my music too. Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. I'm happy to have found you. And don't be a stranger. Hopefully we'll talk again next year when your new stuff comes out.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. And we'll get some spooky stuff out there. And there's going to be some fun songs on there. I've got like a song about dolls and a witch and skeletons and a great one called Castle of Creeps. So there's going to be some fun things again and with the same producer. So it's going to be really fun.
Terrific. I can't wait. Thanks again for talking with us, Fawn.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. We're on a bunch of podcasting sites, and since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere that you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is www.soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.